Our next speaker will focus on another Bible text that merits our special attention in these last days, Proverbs 22:3. Pay close attention now as Brother Mark O'Neill from the Saratoga Congregation in Corpus Christi presents the talk, Foresee the Calamity and Conceal Yourself.
It seems as if today hardly a month goes by without hearing a report of some calamity in the world. Whether it's from a storm, maybe a hurricane or a flood, or perhaps an accident of some sort. And many of these include a human death toll, don't they? But what if you knew in advance these disasters and accidents were going to happen? For instance, if you knew that a plane was going to crash, nothing in the world would get you on that plane, would it? So many lives could be spared if we just knew in advance what was going to happen. Sadly, we don't have that kind of special ability to foresee these kinds of accidental disasters, do we? However, Jehovah has endowed us with the ability to foresee and avoid many other difficulties in life. How so? Well, just think about what studying the Bible can do for us. For one thing, it sharpens our ability to think ahead, doesn't it? A thorough knowledge of the Scriptures gives us a preview of what the future holds, what's going to happen to the earth, to mankind, and its effects on us. Secondly, God's Word clearly shows what He approves of, as well as the consequences, good and bad, of specific actions we might take in life. Now, that Bible knowledge, coupled with a Bible-trained conscience, you see, should impart good judgment, soundness of mind, which will enable us to avoid making unnecessary mistakes in life. Now, endowed with this information from God's Word, every one of us here should be able to accurately predict where a certain course in life will lead us and how, in turn, to take appropriate action to avoid a calamity. That was the point that Solomon was making at Proverbs, the 22nd chapter in verse 3. I invite you to open your Bibles with me and notice Solomon's words here, Proverbs 22. In verse 3, he says, Shrewd is the one that has seen the calamity and proceeds to conceal himself. But the inexperienced have passed along and must suffer the penalty. Well, when we think of a shrewd person, we think of someone who's practical, sound in judgment, discerning, maybe wise, don't we? If we're shrewd, we're going to be quick to apply what we've learned from God's Word in order to avoid making bad decisions. We don't have to pass along, as Solomon said, and suffer the penalty because we paid no attention. But just where specifically can we apply this kind of shrewdness in our life? We're going to look at six examples now where God's Word provides direction regarding our conduct that should help each one of us avoid a calamity. And you might like to take note of these six areas. The very first is viewing pornography. Sexual material of all kinds is easily accessible through television, through movies, through music videos, and the internet today. However, at Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 28, Jesus warned against even looking at another person in a lustful way. There he said that to keep looking at a person so as to have passion is to commit adultery in the heart with them. Well, that's the point of pornography, isn't it? Viewing it contaminates the mind and has a profoundly negative effect on a person's view of normal sexual behavior and marital intimacy. And because it's primarily viewed in secret, pornography use often leads to lying and deception, destroying the trust in our marriage. And you know, if left unchecked, what might start as a casual viewing of pornography can eventually escalate to more hardcore material, and that even to idolatry. Since those addicted to pornography put their sexual desires and gratifications above Jehovah, in essence, they make an idol of it, don't they? But Jehovah's thinking in this matter is clear when we look at what was written by the Apostle Paul at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. There in verses 3 through 7, there in part he said that each one should know how to get possession of his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in covetous sexual appetite. So we must avoid pornography in any form, like the plague that it has become today. Now, the second area of life where we need to avoid calamity is dating an unbeliever. And this, too, is a serious matter. At Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, verse 27, we're told that in ancient Israel, Jehovah counted marrying someone who did not worship him as a great badness and an act of unfaithfulness. For Christians today, the warning is the same. At 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14, we're told not to become unevenly yoked with unbeliever. And then at 1 Corinthians 7:39, we're told to marry only in the Lord, aren't we? And think just for a moment how these warnings are really an expression of Jehovah's loving care for us. We know that he intended marriage to form the closest bond between two humans, with the husband and the wife becoming one flesh. So, would it really be wise for a Christian to form such a close bond with an unbeliever? Hardly. Simply put, to marry an unbeliever is to ignore scriptural counsel, practical wisdom, and the often painful experiences of others. Our soliloquy yesterday helped us to demonstrate how those who exercise foresight in this matter really spare themselves the penalty of a bad conscience and the anguish of a marriage to someone who does not fully appreciate spiritual things. Area number three of our conduct is flirting. And although flirting is not specifically mentioned in the Bible, we can determine God's view. For instance, we know that flirting or directing attention to individuals outside the marriage goes contrary to Bible principles, because Jehovah purposed that married couples enjoy a close, trusting relationship, didn't he? In fact, Jehovah views marriage as a sacred, permanent union. Remember what Malachi 2:16 says? Jehovah hates a divorce. And a person who flirts outside the marriage, at the very least, shows disrespect for the sacredness of God's marital arrangement. But even more serious is the fact that flirting can lead to gross uncleanness, loose conduct of porneia, and can result in broken marriages and disfellowshipping. We should never signal romantic interest in a person if we have no intent to court that person with a view to marriage, or if we are not free to marry. The shrewd one can foresee the consequences of flirting and will not trifle with the emotions of others. See how we can avoid a calamity? Area number four of our conduct now is overindulging in food and drink. And again, we get a very clear understanding of Jehovah's view in this matter. At Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verse 21, there it tells us that a drunkard and a glutton will come to poverty and drowsiness and will clothe themselves with mere rags. Two, we're reminded at 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whether we're eating or drinking, we should do all things for God's glory. In reality, how could consuming large amounts of alcohol or gluttonous behavior ever bring glory to Jehovah God? As a Christian, we would want to be very, very careful that we never develop the reputation of being a heavy drinker, someone who's able to hold their liquor, so to speak, or a glutton, Such a reputation can only bring reproach upon Jehovah's name. But you see, again, the shrewd one can foresee the consequences of overeating and heavy drinking and avoid that danger. Area number 5 is failing to control our speech. Proverbs, the 13th chapter, verse 3, cautions that the one guarding his mouth is keeping his soul, and the one opening wide his lips, he will have ruin. Just think of the damage we can do with our mouth. Critical speech tears down our brothers and just completely destroys our relationship with them, doesn't it? And harmful gossip? Well, that can ruin the reputation of both the slanderer and the one being slandered. And while it's pretty easy for us to recognize when someone else constantly makes negative or critical comments, we do well to reflect occasionally on the spirit of our own words. See, are they primarily negative? Are they critical? Ephesians 4:29 reminds us not to let a rotten saying proceed out of our mouth. And so by meditating on the effect of our words before we say them, we can foresee that calamity and conceal ourselves. The last area, number 6, is pursuing materialistic goals. The Bible well illustrates the vanity of sacrificing spiritual pursuits in the quest for riches. For instance, at Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 10, Solomon said, "A mere lover of silver will not be satisfied with silver, neither any lover of wealth with income." And of course, at 1 Timothy 6:9, we're reminded that those who are determined to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and plunge themselves into ruin. And it's true. Rather than enjoying what he has, a person who is caught up in attaining possessions can find himself always wanting more. This quest can just be insatiable, robbing a person of any joy in life. But again, the shrewd one can foresee this calamity and conceal himself. How so? Well, let's look in on a scene as a brother shrewdly contemplates a tempting new job offer.
"This new job offer sure is tempting. And it makes me feel good that they're considering me for this position. If I accept this job offer, my salary will be more than doubled, and all my financial woes will be gone." And the Bible does say at 1 Timothy 5:8 that a man that does not provide for his own household is worse than a man without faith. Yeah. But the boss did say that this job would involve some serious, extensive traveling. And that's bound to cut into my meeting attendance and field ministry. But I'm sure I could make it all up when I'm back in town. What about my family study? How am I supposed to maintain that on a regular basis? Well, What am I thinking? All this time away from home is going to be hard on the family. How am I supposed to maintain the lead, take that lead in family worship, if I'm not home? What kind of example would I be setting for my family? Now, the kids are doing well spiritually, but if I'm not home, they could easily be sidetracked. Look at me, I'm getting sidetracked. And now that I think about it, providing for one's household, well, that includes providing for them spiritually. And what about the congregation? What kind of example would I be setting for them? Would I be teaching them to trust in themselves rather than trusting in Jehovah? Realistically, could I continue serving as an elder? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus did say, "Keep on then seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the necessary things will be provided." If we do our part, Jehovah will surely do His. He always has. That's it. I'm saying no to this job. Better to disappoint my boss than to disappoint my family, the congregation, but most of all, Jehovah.
Our brother used foresight and his Bible-trained conscience to determine which course to take. You see the results. He was able to protect himself and his family from what could have been a sure calamity. Are you faced with a similar situation? Will you make the right decision in this or any of the five areas of life we have just discussed? We can, if we exercise foresight and take appropriate action to avoid that calamity. Remember, as a loving Father, Jehovah has provided us help in making good decisions in life. And He also warns us of the consequences of making the wrong ones. For instance, notice what the Bible says at Galatians, the 6th chapter, in verse 7 and 8. Here, this is Paul's words at Galatians 6, verse 7. He says, "Do not be misled. God is not one to be mocked. For whatever a man is sowing, this he will also reap. Because he who is sowing with a view to his flesh will reap corruption from his flesh. But he who is sowing with a view to the Spirit will reap everlasting life from the Spirit." The Apostle Paul was helping us to see that sometimes people sow by making bad choices in life, don't they? And later, they reap a measure of suffering as a consequence. Well, sure enough, they may blame God for their suffering, but in actuality, they're just victims of their own bad decisions, did they? They trusted their own thinking. What a danger. We should never fall into the trap of thinking that we're wiser than Jehovah and that we know better than Him what's good for us. To do that would be to deceive ourselves with false reasoning. Instead, we should be grateful that Jehovah has given us wisdom so that we can avoid difficulties in life. And many of us have. Look around. Many of us have avoided calamities in life because we could foresee them. We could determine what God's thinking was on that matter. We didn't personally have to get involved in the wrongdoing to see its negative effects, did we? But for those who refuse to use that wisdom Jehovah has given us and ignore it, that penalty that Solomon spoke of is indeed steep. It includes a damaged relationship with Jehovah and reproach upon His name and the congregation. Invariably, too, our actions are going to cause pain and hurt to our own families. In addition to that, we may now have to deal with a troubled or weakened conscience, as well as the loss of self-respect. How much easier it is to exercise foresight and avoid that calamity altogether. Friends, without a doubt, the greatest calamity that the earth has ever to experience, we know, is imminent. Soon, the battle of Armageddon will bring a complete destruction to the wicked on earth who have refused to acknowledge Jehovah and His kingship. But Jehovah has forewarned us of that calamity as well, and how to shrewdly conceal ourselves from harm. At Zephaniah, the 2nd chapter, verse 3, we're told to seek Jehovah, to seek righteousness and meekness in order to be saved. Well, we know that seeking Jehovah today involves developing a close personal relationship with Him in association with His earthly organization. It also means carefully studying His Word, the Bible, meditating upon it, and applying it. This, coupled with a strong desire to please Jehovah, can overpower any tendency to take a course that might lead to a calamity. Lovingly, Jehovah has endowed us with the wisdom and the ability to foresee and accurately predict where a certain course in life will lead. We do not have to suffer the penalty of the inexperienced ones who refuse to listen to Jehovah. Instead, by seeking Jehovah now and shrewdly avoiding all unrighteous conduct, we too can conceal ourselves from the calamity of this world.